So no matter where your community stands today on the, on making progress towards a renewable energy commitment, whether that's some other number or 100% renewable energy, every community in Wisconsin is coming from a different place. So these panelists will help you understand if wherever you are in the continuum, here are some strategies and tactics to help you and your community and your local government make progress. So without further ado, I will introduce our panelists, starting from the far end. Joanna Salinas is the outreach coordinator on staff at the nonprofit organization, the Waukesha County Green Team, where she has been working with elected officials and staff from local governments within Waukesha County and the county government staff to share information about the Waukesha County Sustainability Plan and the strategies to implement that plan. And we do have a copy of that plan in the back,
yep,
as well.
It's one copy for reference.
Yeah, a reference copy.
Yeah.
But if you need any of the materials, let us know at the end. Joanna has a degree in sustainable management from UW-Stout, and she is recognized for using creativity to communicate with diverse and politically distinct audiences, even those sometimes divided by those political positions. Our second speaker, to Joanna's right, is Kate Beaton. Kate is an elected official from the city of Eau Claire. Since 2016, Kate has served on the city council, and she has led key initiatives that have advanced renewable energy in Eau Claire. In 2017, the City Council of Eau Claire passed a resolution to commit to the Paris Climate Accord and conducted a public survey on clean energy. And in 2018, the council set a goal of 100% renewable by 2050. And Kate has another role, too. She is also staff at a Wisconsin Conservation Voters, so she has advocate perspective and a elected official perspective. And our third speaker today, we've had a shift in program because one of our guest speakers was sick. Stacy Reese from the City of Madison is here. She is the very recently hired sustainability coordinator who comes with a great deal of experience, and she is the first sustainability coordinator for the City of Madison. So I know Madison's very lucky to have her. Stacy has a business background, and she worked with Sustain Dane for several years managing their Empower program, which helps Madison businesses green their operations. She's also served as a sustainability coordinator for the City of Middleton, so she has another municipal government perspective to share. And she served previously on the City of Madison Sustainability Committee, which has managed this transition to 100% renewable as well. So without further ado, I would like to turn it over to Joanna to tell us a little bit about her work in Waukesha.
Yeah, thank you so much. If you guys cannot hear me in the back, just wave. And if you're in the back, there's still a few chairs up here in front if you want to have a seat. So I'm the outreach coordinator for the Waukesha County Green Team. We are a 501c3 located in Waukesha County. Our mission is countywide. And we educate and engage on issues of sustainability, which include energy, water, waste, and land use in the county. We have interest groups on permaculture and gardening, zero waste. We have groups located and work specifically in communities such as Sussex and Wales, Elm Grove. And we also convene networks of people. So we have about 50 folks in a Green Alliance in Waukesha County, which is organizations working on any type of environmental issue. And we are newly forming the Waukesha County Creation Care Network. So back in 2016, we engaged in some conversation with Waukesha County government on their sustainability plan. They've had a sustainability plan for years. They use it as a working document, but it is on their website. It's open to the public. Anyone's welcome to view it. And that one focuses on building, site management, transportation and fleet, and workplace. And as we were talking with them, we notice a very glaring area of opportunity for us, and that is the county does not engage in any type of conversation around sustainability with local municipalities. And in Waukesha County is a fairly big county. There's 37 different local municipalities within the county. And we saw that as an opportunity to really engage local municipalities and let them know what the county is doing. The county believe it or not, really, really has very passionate people on staff and as department heads who are passionate about sustainability issues, energy efficiency, wastewater mitigation, pollution mitigation. They're very, very passionate about it, and so that was surprising to us to learn, and also, and really a great, great opportunity. So late in the summer, I know I'm on a tight schedule here, so I'm talking fast. Late in the summer, we held a forum called Sharing the Plan, and we had about 85 municipal officials, department heads, businesses, nonprofits, and school district facility managers come and hear all about the Waukesha County Sustainability Plan. It really was a great event. The county folks led it. They were the keynote speakers. They held breakout sessions on wastewater, roads, and fleet, on increasing recycling, and facilities management. So we got a lot of incredible feedback from that, from local municipalities who really, you know, if you think about sustainability in government the same way you would with a business, large corporations are able to engage on an entirely different level than a small business. Small businesses don't have resources. Small local municipalities don't have the same type of resources. So we saw that as a great opportunity for us as being outside of government to really facilitate the conversations. So some of that coming out of that is where we're four communities right now in Waukesha County who are considering sustainability plans or sustainability commissions in the next year to start those processes, which is great. And we've also had a conversation with a mayor of a larger city in Waukesha County who has come to us expressing his nervousness because he knows politically that for him to talk at all about climate change is politically unpopular in Waukesha County, but he's extraordinarily concerned about the effects of climate change on his city and the stormwater mitigation and all the things he's going to have to address. So he's kind of walking that tightrope of how do I begin to address these. So. All right, so that I'll turn it over.
Okay, thank you. And before we turn it over to Kate, I just want folks in the back to know we have at least 10 seats in the front, two rows. So please come on up if you can. And folks, if you don't mind scooting to the center if you have an option to create a little space. And I know that a few people have just walked in, so I'm actually going to introduce our next speaker one more time. You're in the local government breakout session, just so you know. And our next speaker is Kate Beaton. She is on the Eau Claire City Council, and she has she also works for Wisconsin Conservation Voters as an advocate. And Eau Claire City Council has made a commitment to go 100% renewable by 2050. So thank you, Kate.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, everyone. I'm Kate Beaton, serve on the Eau Claire City Council, but I actually got my start as a community organizer, as an advocate. I worked on my campus at UW-Eau Claire to work on different things related to divestment and other sustainability projects, and went on to work on sustainable food systems as kind of a project to anti-climate change kind of project. I helped to advocate for lower energy rates and oppose changing Xcel energy rates and the honeybee ordinance on the Eau Claire City Council level. And so I really got my start kind of fighting the grassroots on the grassroots level for a lot of these city changes. I was fortunate to have some people kind of lift me into a leader position and empower me and ask me to run for city council. And so I wanted to come here and emphasize how important that is as you see growing support in your community to be picking out leaders who are doing a great job on the grassroots level and the advocacy level and recognizing them, encouraging them to run for city council or for some other leadership position, and then backing them once they are in office. I was elected in 2016 when I was 24 as an organizer. With a lot of strong support from people who know the local political game. I in in that time, I've been able to work on a lot of sustainability initiatives that I had worked on as a community advocate. But our journey in Eau Claire, our sustainability journey, really started in 2007, when after years and years of public engagement and public support and a lot of people talking about clean energy and sustainability, the city manager in Eau Claire finally kind of opened his eyes to the need to work on some of these initiatives. And that kind of jump-started a lot of really key milestones. As I was sitting down yesterday to write all those milestones down, kind of in chronological order, and pick out some key learning points, I realized that there was way too much to talk about in 5 minutes. So I wrote it down. They're really nothing more than just like some notes, but I printed them out and they're in the back. So if you want our full timeline and some things that I think are some really key learning points that I thought were really important, you can take one. I think Heather's is up for emailing them too if there's not enough. And so I'm not going to go through every step that we've taken, but just highlight a couple of things that we've been able to do. We first were able to pass a sustainability chapter in our comprehensive plan at the city of Eau Claire. That happened in 2009, and so for 10 years, our city council and our city staff have been leading our city with a sustainability lens, kind of constantly going back to that sustainability chapter. It addresses things like clean energy, sustainable food systems, sustainable waste, clean water, a whole kind of umbrella of sustainability issues. We also were able to create the Sustainability Advisory Committee at the city of Eau Claire, which I think it was in 2014 we created that. It's tasked with advising the city council on key projects and new initiatives that the city can take. It's mostly composed of citizens and is staffed by a city staff member. And so that commission has really driven policy from the lens of citizen experts, people at the university and in the energy sector, that kind of thing. And then lastly, and most excitingly, in 2018, we were able to pass 100% clean energy goals after committing to the Paris Climate Agreement, conducting a public survey, and we actually passed that resolution to commit to 100% clean energy unanimously as a city council. At that time, the city council was pretty politically diverse, and so we were pretty happy to see a unanimous decision. So again, if you want to see more steps, you can read them in the back, but I wanted to come with a couple of just pieces of advice for any communities that are looking to get started or maybe in the process and not quite as far along. I wanted to just encourage and remind everyone that the time for local communities to step up and act on clean energy and climate change is right now. Unequivocally. There are 15% of our U.S. population live in cities that already have committed to clean energy goals, according to the Sierra Club, and 80.3% of the U.S. population live in cities versus the rural places. And so given that the national government, to say it politely, the leadership on clean energy is really waning. It's very weak on the federal government, and in state leadership, from state to state, it really varies. And so, you know, in local communities, it's easier to influence the political lay of the land and who's being elected, and it's really easy to, for a citizen, you know, depending on the size of the city, to step up and say, I'm one person, but I want to see this happen and make it happen. And so I would really encourage anybody to take that up. I also wanted to give the advice that leading with building relationships and talking about your stories of how climate change is affecting you, and as a strategy to talk to policymakers and kind of grass tops people is a good way to go, rather than using facts and figures. Of course, they have a place in all this too. I, again, wanted to reiterate how important it is to run clean energy and sustainability candidates. It's really important to have leadership on the city council and decision-making boards. And so when you find key advocates who would be good in public office, please encourage them to run and get them engaged with organizations that can help them learn how to run. And then lastly, again, connecting with organizations that are kind of already doing this. So Renew has been a great partner to work on local clean energy initiatives. The organization I work for, the Wisconsin Conservation Voters, is also getting into local clean energy work. And Wisconsin Progress is an organization that that trains candidates to run for local office. And so I encourage you to look into those. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Kate. There are a number of people who have arrived again. So we have at least, I'm counting, 8 seats in the front. So please take this time to come on from the back. And folks, if you can again slide in so that people can take their seats, because people just keep wandering in and we don't want them stuck in the back. Okay, our next speaker is Stacy Reese. She is the Sustainability Coordinator from the City of Madison.
All right, thank you so much. And please let me know in the back if you are unable to hear, just wave your hand. Like Heather mentioned earlier, I am new with the City of Madison. I started in November of last year. So I'm going to share with you some of the existing goals that were already in place when I stepped into my role, as well as some of the existing renewable energy and energy efficiency measures that we've already achieved before we even address the 100% renewable goal that we had passed. Check my notes here. Also, we have some City of Madison team members here in the audience. So if I do mess up, please go ahead and raise your hand and you can help correct me there. So we some of the existing goals we already had is in our Madison sustainability plan, we had set a goal of reducing our carbon by 80% by 2050. We also wanted to obtain 20% of our electricity, heating, and transportation energy from clean energy sources by 2025, as well as reducing overall energy consumption by 50% by 2030. We were looking to also achieve 50% of electric buses in the Metro Transit fleet by 2035, and reducing our fuel consumption in the city by 20% by 2020. So that's coming up soon. What we've already really achieved at this city is quite amazing. We've installed around 615 kilowatt of solar at city facilities, half of which was using our Green Power program, which is a 9-month solar installer training program for underemployed individuals in our community. We are currently looking at large offsite solar through MGE's Renewable Energy Rider program, looking a little bit at something the size of 5 megawatts, which would be about 15% of our energy, our electricity consumption. We also have a memorandum of understanding with MGE, where we're looking at a lot of other different projects, including expanding our EV infrastructure throughout the city. In partnership with Renew Wisconsin, who is our administrator of the Madison program, which is a solar group buy, beginning with residential, and then we expanded to businesses in 2018. I think we've installed over 100 residential homes with solar arrays. And we also, what was mentioned earlier this morning from Organic Valley, we're investing in 5 large-scale solar arrays totaling 14 megawatts in western Wisconsin. Currently under development and will be available summer of 2019, so keep your eyes peeled for a bus tour or bike tour around those communities. And that'll actually, those renewable energy credits will be offsetting 30% of our electricity consumption. It also is supporting the rural communities for which these municipal electricity utilities are located. For energy efficiency measures, we have dedicated funding for retrocommissioning existing buildings, looking at insulation, lighting, automation. And we're working with Focus on Energy on really targeting those buildings as well as participating in their incentive programs. We're benchmarking all of our buildings. We're inventorying our carbon footprint. And we're sharing all of our solar production on our website. So please go ahead and check out the City of Madison Engineering Sustainability page for those information. We also have mandatory LEED certification for new and remodeled buildings. And we have a facilities and energy management leadership program, ensuring that all of our facility managers are on the same page with our goals. We are also looking at our water utility for an ongoing analysis of pump optimization using variable speed drives. And then for our transportation footprint, for our city fleet, we have purchased 3 EVs in 2018, and then we were awarded a grant through the Office of Energy Innovation to purchase 20 more EVs in 2019. We also have a new fleet superintendent who is enacting green fleet practices such as the use of biofuels, GPS technologies to prevent idling, And actually, Mahanth, who's our new fleet superintendent, he has a breakout session this afternoon. So if you want to hear more details, I recommend going to that breakout. We also have the Madison in Motion, which is our transportation plan, looking at things like bus rapid transit, job ride to connect workers to job research park areas, as well as complete streets for bike and pedestrians. We also have LED streetlights and sensors for innovations in traffic engineering through our Smart Cities Collaborative. And we, through the assistance of MG&E, are purchasing 3 electric vehicle buses for our metro fleet in 2020, with more to come with the addition of a new bus barn. And so those are some of the accomplishments I am proud to say have been already enacted through the City of Madison. And then when I was sitting on this Sustainable Madison Committee for the last couple of years, we've been really looking at our energy goals. And we formed a working group to address those previous goals that I mentioned in the Madison Sustainability Plan. And we brought the public to a lot of those meetings, and they really looked to us to really set bold goals. So in March of 2017, I'm proud to say that the City of Madison passed unanimously a resolution to achieve 100% renewable net zero carbon for city operations and the community as a whole. And so we do have a copy of that draft plan at the back of the room, and I'll be sharing with you some of the details of that plan in the next question. So thank you.
Okay. I'm actually going to just ask one question. It's going to be to Joanna, and then we're going to turn the questions back to you, because we want to hear your questions for these experts. So Joanna, you work in a challenging political environment. What strategies help you build bridges and talk about these issues with elected officials and staff and members of the public?
That's a good question.
Oops, sorry.
Oh, that's okay. All right, so I think about half of you came in after I already did my introduction. So I'll just quickly again, I'm Joanna Salinas. I'm the outreach coordinator with the Waukesha County Green Team. We're a nonprofit working in Waukesha County. And we've been helping the county government engage municipalities on sustainability and helping to uplift what the county's already doing. So strategies. So I'm sure a lot of you know Waukesha County is a conservative, politically conservative county. So we've really had to be very careful in how we operate as a nonprofit. So we are 501c3, so we're already non-political, but in addition to being non-political, we are nonpartisan. We will not take a stance on any issue if it appears to be politically dividing at all. That includes on social media. And when we're operating in the county, we actually do not even mention the words climate change, because that can be polarizing. So one of the things I would say in general for anyone working, trying to build bridges and form relationships, is the first key part of any relationship is trust. So you have to really work on establishing trust with the organization that you want to work with. And that includes kind of knowing where they're at and understanding where they're at and meeting them at that place. I would say that's probably the key thing. The second thing is to find a champion. And for us, believe it or not, our champion is the county executive, Paul Farrow. He is very passionate about environmental issues and has dictated to his staff that they will be too. So all his key department heads operate in the most sustainable way that they can. For them, sustainability has to be economically viable, so they won't do it just because it's the right thing to do. It also has to have the right payback for them. I would say understand resistance. So what are those roadblocks that are kind of being put up that would stop somebody from, you know, from implementing what you're trying to talk to them about? So those are the key things. A quick story is that I told yesterday that they told me to tell again today is, so at our Sharing the Plan event, my father was in town. He lives in North Carolina. He's a libertarian and he's a climate denier. And I was bringing him to the sustainability conference with me, and I said, well, you know, come and see what I do. And so he came. It was 80 people in the room, all very serious, talking about sustainability at grassroots level of what can we do. So he came back at Christmas, and he said, you know, never in my life did I think anything or anyone would change my mind on climate change. And he said, but this did. He said, you have changed my mind, because he said his resistance all along is anytime that he hears anyone talking about climate change and the need to do anything, it's from this top down of the federal government, we're going to be in your lives, and it's going to be expensive, and all this. And he said, and this was from the ground up. And he said that made every single difference in the world to him. So understanding those resistance points, and how do we then shift the conversation to a different way?
So I love that story. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to have our volunteer grab the mic, and please raise your hand if you have a question for our panelists that you'd like to ask. I saw one go up in the back there.
This question is for Kate and Eau Claire. I picked up your paper in the back, and one of the key points is that your 100% renewable energy goals extend to the private sector. I'm just wondering, how do you encourage and incentivize the private sector to go green?
Yeah, thank you. That's a really big point, a big detail of our plan. It extends both in the private sector, the city organization. Our goal is to achieve 100% renewable energy by 2050, but the goal that we passed is actually for private sector too. So that means private homes and private industries. In Eau Claire, we're really, really fortunate to have an energy company that is considered to be a national leader in clean energy. We have Xcel Energy as our energy provider, and they so to pass that goal, it was a little bit more easy to do for us as a city than it might be for a city that is covered by an energy company that is not quite as committed to clean energy. I will say that, you know, even still, that's a pretty lofty goal, and we plan to take the next 31 years to work really closely with Xcel Energy and to keep moving them forward and pushing them to do what they need to do. I will say that Xcel Energy has an 8-state jurisdiction, and Eau Claire being, or Wisconsin, part of Wisconsin being one of them, and states like Minnesota and Colorado have moved a lot more aggressively on really demanding clean energy. And we know that commitments that were made, even if they seem too big or they seem too aggressive, commitments that have been made in Eau Claire and across Xcel Energy's 8-state jurisdiction has led them to work on their clean energy initiatives even more aggressively. And actually, less than a year after Eau Claire passed our commitment to clean energy, just this last December, Xcel Energy made a commitment to go, I think it was carbon-free by 2050 as well, as an energy corporation. And I read an article, I haven't talked to anybody about this with Xcel yet, it's pretty new, but I read an article that was, crediting that to citizens, both citizens who are demanding clean energy, the financial incentives to after clean energy, a more clean energy portfolio, and then also cities. And so it seems to just make sense for Xcel, and I think that as we see more communities in other areas that have other energy providers, as we see communities making these same commitments and citizens making these same commitments, then the corporations will see that they need to be following suit. So,
when we go break to lunch, you're going to be able to hear from Xcel. So they're going to talk to us about that commitment, and it's going to be a really good conversation. Do we have another question in the audience? Yeah, go ahead. I think Mike's by you.
Clean energy has both environmental and social issues associated with it, as we heard this morning from the legislative panel. From all three of you, we heard about sustainability from an environmental component. Can you talk also about the social component and how that becomes a part of the planning that you're doing in your communities?
Whoever wants to jump in, or do you have any follow-up questions on that? Are you speaking primarily about cost, the cost of clean energy, or?
I think there's income inequality issues, there's poverty issues.
Okay.
Social issues that are wrapped up in the issue.
Okay, thank you.
I guess I could speak to that just briefly before passing it off. I think, you know, our Green Power program, where we have the 9-month solar installation training for our underemployed individuals, is really that job development piece that we're looking at expanding with our 100% renewable plan. Also in our 100% renewable plan, we have a lot of recommendations for our community. One that I'm really excited about is the development of green zones, where we can look at areas that we can have a just and democratic transition with the renewable energy sector.
Just to add, I totally agree. I actually, my educational background is in social work. I have a minor in environmental science. And so the equity of clean energy is really important to me. I would say, you know, I take every opportunity I can to remind folks that climate change disproportionately affects some people. There are people in our state and our world that are feeling the effects of climate change right now disproportionately because of social injustices. And so, and then, you know, finding those people and making them the leaders of this movement is something that I've been trying to do, and certainly my organization, Wisconsin Conservation Voters, has been doing as well. As from a city council perspective, there are a lot of things that we've been doing when it relates to like the transit system, those things in our city that relate to both equity and clean energy, and moving both of those forward at the same time. In terms of how we can achieve our goal in the next 31 years, to make sure that it's being done intentionally and not without unforeseen consequences, we are going to be going through a really rigorous climate action planning process over the next year. And so I don't have any concrete answers for that question, but I definitely will be looking for them in the next year as we go through our process.
And for us as an organization, we are continually doing outreach to all areas in our community, including underrepresented populations. And Waukesha County has a very large Hispanic population, and we are actively reaching out to the leaders of organizations to bring them into our networks. And those are conversations that we will continue to have as we are working with the municipal officials, especially, and the populations within those municipalities.
So. Thank you. Great question. Up in here in front, we haven't had a question in the front yet.
How about the small towns in Wisconsin? I mean, we come from in Polk County. There's a very poor county, a bunch of small towns. The city governments don't have the wherewithal or probably the strong enough will to really do something themselves. So really it's going to have to come from the private sector, maybe through some type of programs or something they can do without spending money they don't have in these small towns. I don't know if there's anything to address, you know, the small town, more rural type areas on getting private people into it, because I just don't think the government's going to be, you know, has the ability to do it.
Can I address it? So that was one of our primary reasons why we started the collaboration between the county government and the small towns in Waukesha County, the municipalities. So for those of you who didn't hear at the beginning, Waukesha County has 37 municipalities, and some range from larger cities like the city of Waukesha to really unincorporated small towns. And it's really how can we take the resources from organizations like myself and our Green Alliance folks and uplift the county official or the municipal officials in those small towns. Because you're right, they don't have the resources to really incorporate a lot of these programs on any type of large scale to get out there. But at the same time, sustainability is economically really viable. It's the smart move economically for a lot of them, and for them to understand, you know, if I increase my recycling, if I, you know, go to renewable energy or all those things, that it helps their bottom line. But they can't do that alone, you're right. So, no, it's not even on the radar, you're right.
I would just like to chime in really quick on that question. Over next door here, they're talking about utility scale solar and wind projects, many of which are being proposed in rural communities. And my hope is that those projects can provide both economic benefits for those rural communities, significant increases in property taxes or payments from the utility back to the community, and a new source of interest and education about renewable energy. For example, you may be familiar with a 50-megawatt project that's proposed in Richland County that is not quite yet finished its approval process for a conditional use permit, but what's very interesting about that process is, in addition to conditions relating to vegetation screening and setbacks of the solar panels, the community said, well, we recently lost the neighboring school, and we have lost education opportunities. We want you to put an education kiosk at your renewable energy solar farm. And it's just such an interesting blend where you can bring economic benefits, education benefits, and new technology to rural communities to help them maybe do some of these programs. You know, so there's an interesting synergy that's happening right now. Okay, one more question. Jen, let's see if we can get the mic over here.
I was just wondering for communities that may not be ready to jump right in either because of political will or resources, are there some good entry points or policies that people can be going to their local governments with that are pretty easy to get the ball rolling?
Thank you. Anyone want to speak to that?
Yes. Okay. Just want a quick show of hands. Is anyone a resident of Monona or Fitchburg? Thank you. So actually, those two communities, so I should back up. The city of Middleton also passed a resolution to achieve 100% renewable net zero carbon in 2018. And both Monona and Fitchburg have similar resolutions on their table that will potentially be going to council in the next few months. And so a lot of those communities, what they started out with was really just finding champions to start those city committees so they could start forming that organizational structure to start having those conversations about what city goals should look like. And those are public meetings, so the public can come into those meetings and give their feedback. And from my experience, both working for Middleton and Madison, is that the public wants it. And the public will show up and support that. So if your elected leaders are worried, if your staff is worried, you have that public support through those meetings process.
If I could add, again, to reiterate, those of you who are living in smaller communities or know people who are living in smaller communities and it feels like you're yelling out into the void about clean energy, it really does make a difference. You know, in Eau Claire, I know it's been decades of advocacy and people meeting and having events and talking to their policymakers. And so, you know, keep that drum beating. It takes a long time to build that support. And I think that as a state and as a country and as a world, we're starting to like see the benefits of those decades of that drum beating. I think that to add also, our sustainability commission, our sustainability committee has been working on little projects that maybe don't take a lot of resources, but make a big difference cumulatively. And so take a look at creating a city sustainability committee. It takes a little bit of staff resources, but other than that, it's citizen volunteers that are putting in their time and their expertise to advise the city leadership. And then lastly, this is a little bit more of a lift, but any community that's really starting from zero should look at starting to do some carbon usage data collecting. The city of Eau Claire started more than 10 years ago, and it's really been essential to be able to pass goals like we have and know where we're starting as a city organization, but also as a city as a whole in the private sector. And so that that data collection is, I understand, a really important piece of where we've come as a community, but can take a little while to build, might take a little bit of money to start to put together. And so I think that that's a really good place to start if you have the resources to do that.
Great, thank you. Okay, we are almost at time, but I'm gonna ask you to ask your question and bring the mic over to this gentleman in the sweater, and then he'll wave.
And then
there are a lot of sweaters. And then we'll break for lunch after this question. But I'm hoping that some of our panelists can stay for a few minutes for those of you who want to have some more conversations or exchange contact information and we'll go from there. This has been a really rich conversation. Thank you.
Thanks. I wanted to ask kind of a bookend to the other question, which was, what's a small step that you can take to kind of start the question, to start the progress towards 100% renewable goal? I wanted to ask if there's any sort of conversation around a much bigger and bolder type of step forward, and it's something that exists in a number of different states, including California right now. It's called community choice energy or community choice aggregation. What it is cities and counties band together, they form a joint powers authority, and then they basically take over the generation procurement side of the business from the utility. And it's a quick way to go from a mix that has, you know, some non-renewables, some renewables in it, to 100% renewables. And you have very ambitious goals. You want to get there pretty quickly. I'm wondering if any sort of conversation around community choice energy has taken place in your communities.
I can speak to that briefly, and I know there's a lot of energy experts in the room that might be able to clarify, but in our current regulatory landscape and with investor-owned utilities, I believe it's unfeasible.
If I could add some, I'm not really familiar exactly with this idea, but I have been kind of toying around with this vision that I have to do more research on. But I have a vision in the Chippewa Valley, Eau Claire, and kind of the surrounding communities to work on a regional climate action plan, which might be something similar to what you're talking about. I don't actually know. But the idea kind of just in this whole like top level uninformed kind of space where I'm in right now and that I'm going to be looking into more is that if the city of Eau Claire, the county of Eau Claire, and then surrounding communities, we have kind of like a lump of municipality of population kind of in a more rural area in northern Wisconsin. If we can all commit to 100% renewable energy and work on a plan to achieve it as a region rather than just as a community, would it be possible to do to make those goals, to achieve those goals more aggressively and more cost effectively? Again, I don't know that answer, but it's something that I've been looking into. So.
Okay. Well, thank you for those questions. We're exactly at time. It's 11:30. If you'd like to go to lunch, this is your opportunity. And we'll...
This is it.
Thank you to the panelists.